It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. What would typically be a mundane, nondescript procurement activity has turned into anything but that in Jefferson Parish. And here to discuss it with it is the parish president, Cynthia Lee Shang. Cynthia, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Noel.
So usually we don't hear much about any of this. I mean, it kind of goes through the processes that y'all have had set up. And I know that there's stuff that I've done with the parish when I was sheriff, and I'm very familiar with these processes set up. Where did this one go amok?
Good question. I'm not really sure. I'm scratching my head over this one, but I'll tell you for your listening audience, this is in relation to a advertising bus contract. So when you see buses out on the streets, you see that we have advertising on them. It's a way for the parish to make some revenues. And the parish doesn't go out and solicit, you know, the insurance providers or the doctors or whatever for these ads. We hire a company to do that for us. And the company that we select is able to go out and generate these, you know, revenue ads, and they put it on the bus for us. They have the expertise, and they know this market. And then for the ability to do that, they pay the parish a fixed fee per month. And so that's the contract that we're talking about now. It's the bus advertising contract. And, you know, I'm grateful because I don't know, for whatever reason, Councilwoman Van Ranken has made a lot of accusations against, you know, her current colleagues and myself and my team, claiming corruption, claiming, you know, we're trying to, you know, the company that was selected is a Florida company, and basically allegations generally saying that we're trying to derail the deal and not negotiate in good faith with this company and not try to honor the council selection of this Florida company over a local firm, and that the deal is rotten. And it's honestly been, Noel, I mean, no other way to say it, this sub-campaign of, you know, Facebook posts and media and letters to the AG and newspaper articles and reporting us to the U.S. Department of Transportation and sending out emails to Republican women. It's been like another political campaign within this contract for some reason, which has never been done before. And I'm just glad that for, you know, almost 2 hours yesterday, the council and the remainder of the council and the media and everybody is there is able to hear directly from all the parties involved that we did try to negotiate this in good faith. They heard from our parish attorney. They heard from the attorney trying to negotiate the contract. They heard from our transit director who's defending the words in the RFP. And they even heard from both parties who put in, you know, the owners of both competing companies. So I'm just so grateful that for almost 2 hours yesterday, the entire remainder of the council members were able to see that our team acted in good faith trying to negotiate this contract, and it wasn't able to be done. So I'm just really grateful, and I think my team and my staff members and our attorneys are grateful that they can set the record straight. It did take almost 2 hours yesterday, But, you know, that's where we are. And, you know,
part of the issue that I have with this whole thing is that the allegations made by Councilwoman Van Ranken almost imply that there was some conspiracy, because originally the recommendation that she made of this Florida company, which was the high bidder, not low bidder, which is kind of contrary to the way that this typically
yes.
works, right? Because
mm-hmm.
typically when you're procuring mm-hmm. services, it doesn't bring money to the parish.
Exactly.
So the kind of mindset is that everything is about low bid, but here you're looking for the high bid.
Exactly.
So she recommended approval of the high bid, and the council approved it unanimously.
Yes. Yes. So this notion that there's some undercurrent, you're right. They approved it. Yes. Yes.
So now it's almost as if this was a conspiracy, right? Because all along there was this poison pill that was interjected at some point or another. And usually y'all have an evaluation committee. So what happened? Did something happen there? Because I read a letter that she wrote to the River Region Republican Women that said that this poison pill was meant to kill any real contract negotiation. But is that how that happened?
No, actually, we found out the poison pill that she accused us of inserting in the contract was that the vendor that the council selected, it's a Florida company named Fuel Media, wanted to wrap all of our buses. And we never wanted all of our buses to be wrapped. Now, when you say a full wrap on all buses, it's the buses where the whole bus is one ad, like covering the windows and everything. No,
right.
No fleet wants to do that. It's not really, you know, like we explained yesterday, the riders don't like it. So, you know, the councilwoman said we put in a poison pill because we wouldn't allow the fleet to wrap all the buses. Well, the strange thing is the woman, you know, who owned the company yesterday said, I don't even want to wrap all the buses. So the councilwoman's advocating for a position that the woman in Florida was never advocating for, and reports us to the attorney general that we inserted a poison pill. And yesterday we realized this company doesn't even want to do that. So it's just so, I know it's so technical. It's so, but it just shows how bizarre. I mean, I don't want to say it's bizarre. These things that are happening, that we're fighting this other campaign with one of our own. And honestly, Noel, the hardest thing, and look, I'm uncomfortable right now. I like to get along with my council members. Here I am. It looks like I'm going head to head with her. I hate this. But I'm going to defend myself. I'm going to defend my team. And more importantly, I'm going to defend the processes that we have in Jefferson Parish. Do we make mistakes? Yes. We actually made a mistake on this one that she keeps saying. It was an honest mistake. There's probably 100 steps that we started in January, 100 steps that we have to get into. And like you said, this was one of those reverse ones where instead of not wanting to pay a lot of money and the scoring goes highest to the low bidder, this is the opposite. We want the most money. And so they flipped the scoring wrong, because this is a kind of a different one, but it didn't even matter. The local company actually got scored higher once the mistake was revealed through Councilwoman Van Ranken, you know, bringing up the error. And that was an innocent error. And actually that error was made by our administrative staff and also a member of the council side. So she's pointing to that as, aha, look, you see, they scored it wrong, and it was an innocent mistake. And even when we fixed that mistake, it didn't matter. The local firm still got scored the highest, and the Florida firm got scored technically the lowest, but they offered the highest amount of money to us. And the council unanimously selected the Florida firm based on councilwoman's recommendation. But we weren't able to negotiate the contract. The $20,000 a month that they initially promised and that it was voted on, they were not willing to sign that contract for that amount. And that's all that it is. And so now we're saying, you know, let's go to the next firm. So, yes.
Well, they had two choices, go to the next firm or rebid it, which are the only two options you have under the law, quite frankly, right?
Or go, yes, exactly. And
so
what
I find a little disingenuous... What I find a little mm-hmm. disingenuous is nobody ever really initially revealed that the council's representative on the evaluation process made the same mistake as the administration's representative.
Yes, yes.
So,
and not
so
to get
again,
too personal, but
and it's the council person's stepson who's actually was on, and who I know to be a very fine gentleman, a fine
Absolutely.
Lawyer. Worked with him countless number of times and always appreciated
incredible
the work that
experienced attorney for us.
Yes,
and,
the
and
work that he
with
did.
Him since
so
I started. Yes,
I just wanted to make that. But it, so it's just become, for me, it's emblematic of an honest mistake, but that never comes out in, you know, the emails that are being sent out and this and that and everything else, which, again, I find that to be a little disingenuous. I mean, you know, these are things that need to be resolved amongst your peers and looked at in an objective way. If everybody made the mistake, how is it that it's like this conspiracy to not be transparent? And then in one of the things that we send out, which really, I'm a little different than you. I probably would have really gone off the rails, but since Republican Attorney General Liz Murrell and I share a deep passion for good government, I alerted her office and asked for a review of this matter. What? Come on. I mean,
and she, yeah. In the same letter, she takes that mistake and puts it in quotes, like, oh, the scoring committee mistakenly incorrectly scored, like in quotes. So she reported us for that mistake, like as if this is evidence of, you know,
that was actually corrected. That was actually corrected.
It was corrected, and it didn't matter. And look, I'm the first one to say we make mistakes. I'm not trying to avoid, like, we made a mistake. I didn't direct the mistake. Nobody, it was an innocent mistake. We're humans. And so, I mean, but it didn't matter. And even if we caught it, we would have tried to fix it in the process. I mean, we understand we make mistakes. And to show, I really appreciated Colin Sisco, who's our attorney, who jumped up there with my transit director. I asked them not to come up unless we got in trouble and it got so technical we couldn't handle it, but they jumped up to the podium. And I think they just wanted to defend their work. And Colin was explaining, like, how much he's an attorney, it's his job, trying to negotiate this contract in good faith, trying to even bend beyond what the contract allowed, try to offer a lower amount. Okay, you can't pay us $20,000 a month. What will you be willing to pay us, knowing that the advertising is limited? What would you be willing to pay us? Also, an on-ramping period that was not in the contract. Okay, we'll let you take 3 months of not paying us while you have time to on-ramp, which actually the opponent, the local firm, probably might have had a problem with and maybe could have even sued us on. I don't know. But it was an attempt to negotiate this contract, to sign, to take a unanimous vote by the council and say this is the vendor that the council wants, this Florida firm, and an honest negotiation to try to sign the contract and get a contract ratified for council vote. And so we just really appreciate, and I think they appreciated to be able to get up there and defend their work product. But I hate, Noel, that it's out there that our system's flawed, that the deal smells rotten, that we can kiss good companies goodbye, that we've inserted a poison pill, we're scaring away good companies in the service. I mean, these broad things is doing so much damage from one of our own.
So let me ask this question. Let me ask this question.
Damage about our processes.
Let me ask this question because I'm just kind of curious. There's an allegation that we, and in this letter to the Republican women, it says, plus an email to Fuel says ads will be on the 12 oldest buses in the fleet. So I was kind of thinking about that last evening. Well, most people put a vinyl wrap, one for the advertising, and a lot of folks utilize it because the paint job on a vehicle or this or that or a boat or otherwise is impaired, and it's really, in the end, cheaper to refresh a bus by putting a vinyl wrap on it. And as I was thinking about it, I try to put myself in you know, your transportation director's position, and I would say, well, if I'm going to vinyl wrap anything, why would I want to vinyl wrap a new bus? I'll vinyl wrap an older bus because it'll refresh it and make it look better.
Exactly. And I've never talked to my transit director. No, but
am I incorrect in that?
Noel, we're so proud of our new buses. Our new buses look incredible. There's not that many. We're going to get more. They are the colors of our logo. They are, when you see that bus drive down the street, you're like, that's a gorgeous bus. Who says that about a bus? That is a gorgeous bus. So, of course, when you think you're going to go wrap the whole thing in advertising, yeah, I've never talked to my transit director about it, but, yeah, it makes sense to me that you take the old, ugly ones wrap in entire advertising.
Yeah, it's that's kind of the way I, you know, think about things. I mean, now, there could be an argument as to the reach, you know, and what you could get as advertising, you know, depending on the routes. And I don't know if there's a difference there. I mean, that's a consideration as well. But I mean, no, if I'm going to wrap something, it's going to be the 12 oldest buses in my mind.
And either company that won, they're going to wrap the old buses. If the other company got it, they're going to, I mean, it was the same for both companies. That's not a poison pill in there. That's what we want. Whoever wins the contract would have the same requirements. So it's not like we're trying to load it against this Florida company by saying you get the old buses, and it was kind of hinting at that a little bit. And it's like, that's an operational choice we make. By the way, if three other council members voted with this and they tell us they want to get involved that much in operation, vote no, I want you to wrap the newer buses, we would have to do that. So, I mean, there's legislative fix to that if she really had a problem with the old buses.
So let's come full circle. What did the council ultimately decide? Because this is their decision, not yours. You present this.
This is their decision. We try to just try to make what their will is happen. I don't have a vote on this. And so after listening to our parish attorney say, we're really at an impasse with this Florida company that you selected back in July. And after hearing direct testimony from very, very nice lady, her name's Cheryl, from the Florida, council member said, what's the new number? If you can't pay us $20,000, give us a new number. She wasn't willing to do it. She wasn't willing to sign the contract. They realized through that we were at an impasse. And even though we said we gave them the option, we asked them to support either going out for a bid again or selecting the next vendor, the other vendor, the local company, came up and said, actually, follow your rules because, and it's the local company's Vector, follow your rules because according to your contract, it says if you're at an impasse with the first one you select, you are to negotiate with the next one. We only had two, so it was the only other one. And she came up and advocated and said, follow the contract. Of course, we have attorneys, on the council, and many of them argued, no, we have to follow the contract. And they chose the next vendor, which is the local firm, Vector, which actually was the highest scoring firm, didn't offer as much revenue, but the highest scoring firm. So that's where we are now. The council voted 6-1 yesterday with the councilwoman, being the dissenting vote, and the other six voting to select the local firm, Vector.
Yeah. So I just want to, in complete transparency, I did receive a text from Councilwoman Jennifer Van Ranken requesting that she come on the show. We will try to get her on the show tomorrow. She was actually on Tommy Tucker this morning. I think they did run out of time and weren't able to really fully vet the topic. So we will reach out to Councilwoman Van Ranken and give her the opportunity to come on tomorrow. Final thoughts, Cynthia?
Look, final thoughts is this is not done by me. When contracts get negotiated, it's done by our parish attorney. It's done by our staff attorneys. All I'm going to say is they're not going to risk their law license to do something illegal. The council members have attorneys on that side. This is the process that happens. It might not go the way somebody wants, but to cast doubt on our entire government and the whole process and to say we're going to chase away good companies, that's not fair. I don't like being painted against her, but I'm going to defend myself and I'm going to defend my team. I'm in the paper as being a corrupt politician because of the Facebook post she did, and I hate this. I hate that it came to this, but I am going to defend myself. And our teams work, and the facts are all out there. There's a long video. There's newspaper articles covering it. We think it's been very fair newspaper coverage. So, again, it's terrible that it got to this, but Jefferson Parish is a good place to do business. Our processes work, and please do not let anybody think anything different. We work very hard at it, and if there is corruption or there's somebody corrupt, I will be the first person to do whatever I can from a law enforcement standard, inspector general standard, to call that out and to get that bad apple out of our system. So,
absolutely. We really appreciate you coming on the show and explaining this, and we will reach out to Councilwoman Jennifer Van Ranken to give her the same opportunity. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Okay.
All right. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Welcome back, folks. Joining us, Michael Glasser, president of Pano, to talk about a number of topics. Michael, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. How are we, Lou?
Doing fine. Michael, let me first ask you about the state of recruiting. You and I have talked about this before. Obviously, it's top of mind for a lot of folks. What are you seeing?
Well, there's kind of good news and bad news on that. We are hiring a little more than we have been in the past, and that's good. Our retention is probably about the same, and our attrition is about the same. So the net in the end is we're kind of breaking even. And unfortunately, sometimes breaking even on numbers is different because, as you know, we don't hire police officers. We hire recruits, and then they spend 6 months in the academy. And if they graduate, then they spend 4 months in field training. And if they go through that, then they're police officers after 10 months. So, you know, we don't have a direct one-for-one replacement. When somebody leaves and we hire somebody, you can't say it's an even swap because it isn't. And then, of course, you're losing someone with experience if they retire or quit or go somewhere else, and you're replacing them with a brand-new rookie. So it's not an even swap. Numerically, we're pretty close, but experience-wise, we're at a deficit.
Yeah, that experience vacuum or void is critical to proactive, intelligence-led policing, right?
That's correct. I mean, you know, you lose that. There's no substitute for experience. And unfortunately, we're losing that every time someone leaves and we replace them with a brand new recruit.
Do you see that changing anytime in the near future? I mean, this is not unique to NOPD. Let me start out that way, right? I mean, this is something that departments across the country are experiencing. I'm just kind of curious. I mean, it was always difficult. You always had to stay on top of it. I'm curious whether or not we see an end to this and if there's anything that you're reading or hearing from around the country.
Well, I don't see an immediate end to it. I think the problem is we've caught up in a lot of ways to the financial end of it. We've caught up. The pay is much better than it was. The benefits are good if we can keep that going in the legislature. We've had some issues with the retirement at the legislature, but so far the governor has helped and it's holding our own with that. The problem we have, obviously, is the same thing that everybody has. Policing has taken a really big hit in social circles and public mores, and you know that's the thing we have to overcome. Is it has to become something that's attractive to people to do. And it was vilified for such a long time in the last few years that's the hurdle we have to overcome, and that's nationally.
Yeah, I do see a little bit of a change, and you tell me whether or not I'm wrong. You know, for a long time, we seemed to tolerate battery on a police officer, interfering with arrest and things of that nature. There seems to be a little bit of a shift in the way that we see that, you know, running from the police and things of that nature.
Well, we just had recent legislation on that, making it illegal to interfere with an officer within a certain number of feet during an incident, which was very, very necessary. You would think you wouldn't because we had laws that kind of covered that, but having it explicitly stated and expressly put in the legislature was important. And that is an important issue. Once again, we have to operate with what the tools that we have, and we appreciate people's rights and so forth, but at the same time, we have a job to do, and we have to protect the rest of the public. And we need the backing and support of the people for that.
Yeah, no doubt. So, Michael, Troop NOLA comes into town. They've increased their numbers a little bit, which is good. How, from you guys' perspective, it seems as though they're really contributing in a big way. Your thoughts?
Well, they are. We're working with them on a number of levels. You know, we have some initiatives going that they are supplementing on, and they're doing some good work. And unlike the past, where I think they were put there for a lot of, let's just say, I don't want to say show, but they were there to make people feel better about it. But they did some work, but now they're really, really doing some good work with us. And they're implanted in the districts, and they're implanted in our plainclothes units, and they're doing some really good work. And I got nothing but good things to say about them at this point.
I got to imagine that's helped with morale, right? I mean, I and the reason I say this is that not only Troop NOLA, but I see the rank and file actually producing higher solution rates. And, you know, I love when I hear about arrests being made within 24-hour period of time, you know, and things of that nature. And I'm seeing more and more and more of that, which is, I think, an incredible feat to overcome. It's hard work, and I know that it just doesn't come easy, and I think that's huge.
Well, as you know, we have, you know, two major mandates. One is we try to prevent crime in the first place, and in those circumstances where we don't, then we try to solve it as quickly as possible so we prevent the next one and get justice for the one that occurred. And that's happening. You're exactly correct. Our numbers are very, very good. There is a national trend in many areas of violent crime where they're down in a lot of cities, but ours is like double what most other cities are. And that downward turn is somewhat synergistic, because as we handle less crime, the ones we do handle, we have more time and ability to dedicate our resources to, so we solve them faster, and when we solve them faster, we prevent the next one. So it's a good cycle to be in, and we're doing very, very well.
Obviously, Super Bowl, it's good to have it, but it can be a major distraction as well. You guys, I know y'all, there's a lot, people have no idea the amount of preparation for that event. I mean, I've participated in several. And it's can be a load for an organization. What are y'all seeing so far?
Well, that's exactly right. And as I know you know from prior experience, that the Super Bowl itself, and every year it gets more so, but the Super Bowl itself is probably the most secure event you will ever see. And whether it's this year or next year, this year more so than last year, and next year more so than this year. We have every federal agency, every state agency, every local agency is involved. There are constant meetings. The security is going to be amazing on this. And, of course, we have a lot of construction. I'm sure people see it going on Poydras Street and within the dome, inside, outside, and all the agencies working together. It will be a very secure event, and it takes an enormous amount of effort to do that. And, of course, why do one event when you can do two? So we have Mardi Gras at the same time, because that's the way we do things in New Orleans.
We don't want it to just be hard. We want it to be really hard, right?
That's it. Why not?
Absolutely. There was a story the other day, and I've talked about this a lot, the inability of the city to pay vendors on time, and as a result, it gets harder and harder to get vendors willing to do work. And I was really disheartened to see this Fox 8 News story about the 6th District Station, other police stations, window units hanging out of these stations, can't seem to get the vendors to get air conditioning in there. You know, it's hard to motivate people when you can't provide the basic necessities, you know, in order to do their job. And when people want to avoid going to the district station, that's even a bigger problem. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, we tell people that we are a progressive police department and a model for the rest of the country. And in many ways we are, but in some ways not so much. You know, in our district, we have 8 district stations. For those stations, you know, the second is new, the fourth is brand new, the fifth is new, the seventh is good. in the 8th. It's a very old building, but Cops 8 is an organization that helps the police out down there, and they have done an amazing job getting the 8th District in shape. That's good. The 3rd is reasonably functional. It has a couple of problems, but they're solvable. Now, the 1st and the 6th, I can tell you, I worked there 25 years ago during Katrina, before Katrina. Those buildings were terrible 25 years ago. Katrina and the next 20 years did nothing to fix it. And unfortunately, that is correct with the vendors and so forth. And we wait until parts become either non-existent or obsolete, and air conditioning and other things cannot be repaired. And then we're stuck. And now it's a matter of Band-Aids. Like you say, putting window units in, and then the windows were never designed to accommodate it. So the windows leak, the roof leaks, there are vermin in there, the plumbing doesn't work, the pipes are old. Frankly, those buildings need to be demolished, and we need to build new ones. But as long as they keep trying to make it work, we're going to have that problem.
What is the issue? I don't understand. I mean, you know, you got to maintain your infrastructure. And if you don't maintain it, it gets away from you. And it looks like a number of these facilities are getting away from the city.
Well, like I said, two of the stations, the rest of them aren't bad, but two of the stations, the 1st and the 6th, are horrible. And unfortunately, here's the litmus paper test. Look at headquarters. We had to abandon headquarters, okay, move to Poydras Street for the exact same reason, because things don't get repaired and maintained as they go along. We wait until it becomes critical mass, and then by then parts are obsolete or don't exist, or the companies went out of business, or now it's impossible to fix, or it's cost prohibitive to fix it. And that's where we are. So when you got to abandon headquarters, what does that tell you?
Yeah, and then look at City Hall. I mean, nobody wants to go
and
there either,
City
right?
Hall. I didn't even bring that up, but you're right. City Hall, another good example.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just a lack of focus, too, right? I mean, you got to make it a priority. If you don't make it a priority, if you don't care about it, I mean, you have to provide a nice, clean, working space. It's efficient. You know, you get the toilet paper in there every day, the hand towels, the this, cleaning services, because you build them because they're going to be utilized. You know, if you're not maintaining them, you're not gaining anything. And my experience, and you correct me if I'm wrong, and please do, it's a true morale buster if you don't give people a nice place to go do their work and park themselves and get it done.
You don't know, it just has to be functional. We're not looking for Star Wars technology. We're looking for plumbing. We're looking for bathrooms that work. We're looking for a reasonable amount of air conditioning in an equatorial environment. We're looking for some heat in the winter when it does get cold. And we're looking to not be rained on when it rains every day at 2 o'clock. You know, so we're looking for those things. We're not looking for pie-in-the-sky technology. We're looking for just those things. And when you come to work and you have to shut the station down because it's inhabitable, okay, that's not good for morale, and it doesn't emphasize the fact that we're a 21st century police department.
Yeah, you're so demanding, Michael Glasser. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I know. I'm asking for so much.
Yeah, I don't mean to make light of it, but you got to laugh to keep from crying sometimes. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, when I saw the 6th District Station, which was not built that too terribly long ago. I mean, it's more modern than some facilities with window units in it. I was like, oh my God, what's going on here? I mean, I just couldn't believe the vision.
Well, it's not just the age of the building, and you're right, it wasn't that old. It's just when you don't maintain it and you don't keep it up, you wait till things go catastrophic, and then you have a problem. You wait, you know, you don't repair the roof when it starts to be a problem. You wait until it caves in, and then you can't fix it. That's the problem we have, and that's the way we do business here sometimes, and this is the outcome.
Yeah, it's a shame. Michael Glasser, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for the work you do. We appreciate your time and your insight. Have a great Labor Day weekend.
Thanks. It'll be decadence weekend. We'll be busy. Thank you.
Absolutely. No doubt about that. Michael Glasser, president of Pano. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us. So we heard, you know, what some of the challenges are. I mean, let me tell you, the new chief has been, I think, one of the best hires the city has made under the Cantrell administration, quite frankly. And I think she has brought a new vibrancy to this organization, a willingness to get involved, a willingness to make decisions, a willingness to take risks, to take chances, to try things. And a lot of them have come back to them with just exponential, you know, awards or rewards, I should say, you know, that they've really been able to move the needle. And when you move the needle greater than what the national trend is, that's always a positive thing. It's not always easy to point to exactly what strategy or otherwise is responsible for same. And there's not any singular one that is. It's going to be holistically. And, you know, I've talked to Michael Glasser a number of times, and you can just tell a difference in his voice. I mean, you know, I think even after all the years that he served with NOPD, and I think he's been there over 40 years now, you know, and I see it in officers that I talk to, there's a bounce in their step. And I love that. I used to say that about the men and women of the JPSO. They come to work every day with a bounce in their step, knowing that they can make a difference. And that's the real difference maker, because they're not in it for the money. They are, like everyone else. They want to be adequately compensated. But there's so many other things that they could do that would make more money, but not be nearly as rewarding as the public service of being a law enforcement officer. And when you can change the culture of a department and the psyche of a department to begin to really believe in themselves, that is a huge first step. And it leads to a lot of positive outcomes. And we're already beginning to see it. And hopefully, you know, these trends continue. And that's what I love about what I'm seeing is that these are multi-month trends that are going on right now. And hopefully this is something that they can carry through the fall and into the winter and into the spring. I kind of chuckle when I say that, because do we really have seasons here? It's hot and less hot, right? But you know what I'm saying. And hopefully they're able to continue to do that. These little things that we, and they're not little, but they are in some sense about this air conditioning and stuff. These are just priorities. You know, and I mean, and it's been one of the failures, I think, of the Cantrell administration is keeping their eye on the ball and having a management infrastructure to handle these things, to make sure that you're spending the dollars necessary to keep these buildings functioning. That's what business entities do every day. It's not unlike the procurement process, clicking on all cylinders. You got to hold your staff accountable. And they need to come, you know, to work understanding the importance of making sure that NOPD has paper in the copy machine, toilet paper in the stalls, right? Air conditioning in the building, a roof that doesn't leak, and a cleaning service that cleans, because when you use it, it gets dirty. And you keep it freshly painted, and you go on a cycle of maintenance of buildings because you treat it as an asset that maybe ultimately you're going to sell one day. They're not. But I mean, the reality is you got to look at yourself as though you're a for-profit organization, and that adds value to your business. A lot of times we fall into the doldrums of government asset that we're not really in the competition business. We're not competing against anyone, right? You think any of these fast food joints take pride in looking crappy? No. When they have to compete, cleanliness should be paramount. It has to be aesthetically pleasing. So you kind of kid yourself into believing that you're in the competition business, so you keep all of this fresh for your employees. So when they walk into the building, they are proud to say, I work at the 6th District. Come see us at the 6th District, I doubt very seriously whether or not anyone at the 6th or the 1st or the 8th, as was pointed out by Michael Glasser, is inviting people to come and visit them there. Because if it's in the condition that's been described, who would? Who would? It's all about taking pride in what you're presenting and what you're doing day in and day out. And that's been a missing component. Not just this administration, because these are not new problems, in a whole series of administrations. We're off saving the world, and we can't save a building. We'll be right back. Stay with us. On a text line, it says, just for example, Bucky's, the owner of Bucky's, due to his dedication to cleanliness and efficiency, he's caused other business along the roadways to up their game. There's no doubt about that. When we come back, Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. So we heard, you know, what some of the challenges are. I mean, let me tell you, the new chief has been, I think, one of the best hires the city has made under the Cantrell administration, quite frankly. And I think she has brought a new vibrancy to this organization, a willingness to get involved, a willingness to make decisions, a willingness to take risks, to take chances, to try things. And a lot of them have come back to them with just exponential, you know, awards or rewards, I should say, you know, that they've really been able to move the needle. And when you move the needle greater than what the national trend is, that's always a positive thing. It's not always easy to point to exactly what strategy or otherwise is responsible for same. And there's not any singular one that is. It's going to be holistically. And, you know, I've talked to Michael Glasser a number of times, and you can just tell a difference in his voice. I mean, you know, I think even after all the years that he served with NOPD, and I think he's been there over 40 years now, you know, and I see it in officers that I talk to, there's a bounce in their step. And I love that. I used to say that about the men and women of the JPSO. They come to work every day with a bounce in their step, knowing that they can make a difference. And that's the real difference maker, because they're not in it for the money. They are, like everyone else, they want to be adequately compensated. But there's so many other things that they could do that would make more money, but not be nearly as rewarding as the public service of being a law enforcement officer. And when you can change the culture of a department and the psyche of a department to begin to really believe in themselves, that is a huge first step. And it leads to a lot of positive outcomes. And we're already beginning to see it. And hopefully, you know, these trends continue. And that's what I love about what I'm seeing, is that these are multi-month trends that are going on right now. And hopefully this is something that they can carry through the fall and into the winter and into the spring. I kind of chuckle when I say that, because do we really have seasons here? It's hot and less hot, right? But you know what I'm saying. And hopefully they're able to continue to do that. These little things that we, and they're not little, but they are in some sense, about this air conditioning and stuff. These are just priorities. You know, and I mean, and it's been one of the failures, I think, of the Cantrell administration, is keeping their eye on the ball and having a management infrastructure to handle these things, to make sure that you're spending the dollars necessary to keep these buildings functioning. That's what business entities do every day. It's not unlike the procurement process clicking on all cylinders. You got to hold your staff accountable. And they need to come, you know, to work understanding the importance of making sure that NOPD has paper in the copy machine, toilet paper in the stalls, right? Air conditioning in the building, a roof that doesn't leak, and a cleaning service that cleans, because when you use it, it gets dirty. And you keep it freshly painted, and you go on a cycle of maintenance of buildings, because you treat it as an asset that maybe ultimately you're going to sell one day. They're not. But, I mean, the reality is you got to look at yourself as though you're a for-profit organization, and that adds value to your business. A lot of times we fall into the doldrums of government asset that we're not really in the competition business. We're not competing against anyone, right? You think any of these fast food joints that take pride in looking crappy? No. When they have to compete, cleanliness should be paramount. It has to be aesthetically pleasing. So you kind of kid yourself into believing that you're in the competition business, so you keep all of this fresh for your employees. So when they walk into the building, they are proud to say, I work at the 6th District. Come see us at the 6th District. I doubt very seriously whether or not anyone at the 6th or the 1st or the 8th, as was pointed out by Michael Glasser, is inviting people to come and visit them there. Because if it's in the condition that's been described, who would? Who would? It's all about taking pride in what you're presenting and what you're doing day in and day out. And that's been a missing component. Not just this administration, because these are not new problems, in a whole series of administrations. We're off saving the world, and we can't save a building. We'll be right back. Stay with us. On a text line, it says, just for example, Bucky's. The owner of Bucky's, due to his dedication to cleanliness and efficiency, he's caused other business along the roadways to up their game. There's no doubt about that. When we come back, Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.